from there, and we'll go ahead and share. So we'd like to be first. I know names. Come on up.
Sure.
I'll make John
better. Thanks a lot, Bill and Harlan. I really got a lot out of the retreat, and I think because my attitude is quite a bit better than it was last year. And I just wanted to say, I wrote in my letter, I was reading it the other day before I came up here, that one of the things I said, please help me with my food plan and give me some willingness to abstain and have a weight loss abstinence, and that happened. I was reading that, and I said, wow, that's amazing, what God can do if I ask him. And I was just the 12-step deal. I just can't say enough about that, what you said, Harlan, because I know some of you guys do a lot of, from AA, and you do a lot of 12-step work, OA, we kind of go to, a lot of us just kind of go to meetings, and that's it, but I 12-stepped a guy 20-something years ago that worked with me, and I just came into OA, and my sponsor, Pete, told me, I watched him, like you said, he lived it. He'd go pick somebody up at City Beach and bring them back to El Cajon to the only meeting we had, and he'd take them back to City Beach. And she wasn't a very attractive woman. So I didn't at the time I didn't understand why he did that. And I asked him once, why the hell did you do that? He says, I don't want to get drunk. I want to drink. And I didn't. I honestly didn't. I said, well, that's crazy. Your car doesn't run that well. I've never been dated before. But he taught me that, and there was a guy that worked in the landing gear shop across the aisle from me, and he was huge. And we used to make fun of him, and don't say you've never done this, because the guy would get in his car and it would lean over, and I 12-stepped him, and it took about a year for him to get in. One day he came over and said, I'm ready to go. And I said, where are you going to barber this time, or what happened to your car, or he always had an excuse. He said, I'm ready to go to one of those meetings, you can't take that away from me. That guy is part of my life. I email him, I talk to him all the time, and there's nothing like it, And he says this, he says, Dave, you've got, in my most depressed moments, I used to sponsor him, and then he gave me a dime. It's funny how these things turn around and all that. He gave me a dime years ago and said, you need to go get some mental health because I'm afraid of what you're going to do to yourself. And I was suicidal. I mean, I was 3 years absent, I was suicidal. And he says, please get some help. Here's a dime, go make a phone call. And I did, and he helped me. And he said, no matter what you think of yourself, you saved my life. And I'm not bragging about it, but it didn't save every time. When I came back to that meeting after trying to get my absence back in 80-something, I don't know when it was, and I went to that maintainer's meeting, and I hated it because people were abstaining there, and I wasn't, and I sat in the front row, but I know I needed to come back, and I'll be damned if he didn't leave the meeting. So amazing things happened because of that. Anyway, thanks.
Thank you.
Obviously, I want to thank you to God for taking time out to make my life a little better. I'm really looking for a way to express something that has happened in this program to me. It is very difficult for me, let me just keep it about me, because this call in which the saying is up there is all about me. It's very difficult for me to express my growth in this program. It's a sort of quick throwaway phrase, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. These letters that you write, I kept them, and I stick them in the envelope. And if everybody did this, the postage bill was probably going to go up significantly, but I'm amazed when I look now and say, gee, I really don't think I've made that much progress here. I've lost some weight, sure. Got a little bit of spirituality that I didn't have rather before. And to me, the letters that I write, I've written over the years, as I read them back and go keep going through them, I say, wow, there is progress. I am different now than when I walked in the door. Yeah, I've got a long way to go, sure, but I'm different now than when I walked in the door. I mean, the first letter they wrote, and I say this also for those who are new in writing letters, that the first letter you wrote, or I wrote, was to myself. Then the second letter I wrote was to God. Then the next letter I wrote was to a yet higher power, my wife. You know? And the concept of, now I'm writing this next letter would be to my wife. She may see it if I die. I assume she won't see it, but you never know. It becomes more personal to me if I can write it to something like my wife. I'll share with you this last story because it means a lot to me. I didn't come here to lose weight. I didn't come here for spirituality. I didn't come here because I was looking for buddies. Very simply, I came here because I wanted to get laid. I was going out with this girl. She came to OA, and I said, great, this is a way to get in the door. To her, not to the program. The situation develops, and I never saw that I had a problem. The fact that I was eating 5 or 6 desserts a day really didn't seem like a problem to me. You know, and it was so amazing. And that line you have, I can't remember, accident or God or something.
Is it that? Is it
that? I'm sorry?
Is it that or is it that?
Yeah, that was very kind of fascinating to me, that I'm really in awe of this program, and there is no way I would have gotten here without that accident, God, whatever. I still feel uncomfortable with people who throw God around loosely. I feel uncomfortable with the word miracles. But it's a process and a movement, and I thank you for allowing me to continue to walk along with that. Who's next?
I'm Daryl from Compulsive Overeater. And talking about the letter, yesterday, when I celebrated my 20th birthday, I talked about the tough year I had and the three untimely deaths that caused me to struggle with my abstinence and to really have a tough year with the food and gain weight and that. And when I looked at my letter last night, I read my letter from last year. That's not true. That the problem had started prior to last year, and I had written about it in the letter, and I had talked about how I wasn't doing my writing, I wasn't doing, I wasn't calling my sponsor, and some of those things. So, so the truth is like Harlan said, is that the problem started before the food went into my mouth, I think that the deaths were part of. Maybe what took me over the brink, maybe I wouldn't have gone there as quickly, but I would have gotten there eventually. And I've taken my third step this weekend with Garland, and I really feel the sanity returning, and I'm very grateful for that. Thank you.
Part of the retreat committee, you know, what we try to do is just simply give it a little bit of form and then just turn it over to God. And just miraculous things happen way better than we could possibly plan. And it worked out again exactly that way this year. Just continually amazed at the power of God in my life. And I want to say a particular congratulations to Craig for the 1 year. You know, one day is an amazing thing without compulsively overeating. I don't know how we actually do that.
Yeah.
You put those together in a couple of days, and I think 35 days, 8 years, and 20 years, and 30 years, and more. It's just, I'm completely awed by that. I do want to say, pay particular homage to my sponsors. my current sponsor makes it every year here. He couldn't come this year, so I wanted to be sure that everybody knew that Gil wanted to be here but couldn't because of actually a wonderful family event, a friend the child was getting married, and that was a very important thing for them to be at. So we got to work together a little bit on the grieving process of not being there. But I miss him a lot. And what I want to say about that is I've had a particularly trying last year on an emotional basis, and it was through my program Friends and my sponsor, and I'm really working the steps all over again. It kind of helped me see what I have a tendency to do. I think you call it edge God out. I have a tendency to not permit my higher power to actually work in my life. Because, don't you know, I'm so busy and I'm so important, and I really know how to do this. Except for 350 plus pounds and your life to do is pretty obvious you don't. I don't live that way anymore. But it's through that brotherhood and this love and the relationships, and I was able to let go of the situation. And I want to tell you just a little bit about a higher power work in my life. So it takes me, I've been doing this startup company for about 3.5 years, and it's been very bad for me. It's just not a good place for me, and I was clear for quite a while. And so Gil had been working with me on how to just let go of that. And I'm so fearful over money, I kept saying, how am I going to possibly replace this income? I didn't know how that was going to happen. So finally, events conspired. It was not odd, it was definitely God that caused me to be a place. And I finally got to a place where I was unable to continue a moment longer. I had lunch with the CEO, or actually breakfast, and he was shocked and dismayed when I told him I could no longer be associated with this. And not only was it personally, I could do a personal basis, but it was professionally inappropriate, and this just wasn't going to work for me anymore. And if something didn't drastically change, I was just going to have to, move on. So it was about a 15-minute drive from the restaurant spot to my office, and I get out of my office, get out of my car, and I get a call. And the call is from a business relationship that says, there's a really important new project that's starting, you'd be the perfect guy, they need to talk to somebody, can you make a meeting today? And I said, okay. Well, it turns out that's the new company I'm going to work for. And not only was my income replaced, it was replaced several times its current amount. And this isn't about, it's not about the plan. I'm so stuck in it. You know, I can't see it. It's about what's the right thing to do and permitting God some space to work in my life. And every time I have done that, and I only do this kicking and screaming and dragged through broken glass, I finally let go. But every time I've done that, I've seen that my higher power has not once ever failed me. The big mistakes have only been when it was my willpower run wrong, right? And this is a critically important thing for me, this retreat every year. I think 17 years, I think. I've come back into some guys who've been here all the time. I think Gil was there all the time. He's been around a long time. And I love seeing you guys. It's so important to me. It's just such a important part of my life. The one or two times that I've missed it, I've had a terrible year. But not this year. This year, I think it's been about the growth of starting to trust really my higher power for 17 or 18 years in program. I'm starting to develop the rudiments of faith. And that only came about because my way just didn't work. Thank God for that.
I'm Bruce, very grateful, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Bruce.
Next month I will celebrate 33 years of program. And I often said that I've been in program for that period of time, but I have not been working in program for that period of time. 36 days ago, a tragedy happened in my life. My kid brother died. He had heart disease, very high. pressure, type 2 diabetes, morbid obesity, no exercise. I've been absent 36 days. I want to thank Bill and Harlan. I'm very fortunate. Harlan is my sponsor. And we share a lot. And as I realize in listening to many of your stories, was that we still, from time to time, have fears and anxieties. I called one of my program friends, who, like Harlan, has a wonderful knowledge of the Big Book, and I was particularly fearful. I'm an investment advisor. I've been that for 39 years, and the market's been kind of crazy. And I was fearing scarcity, fearing watching my portfolio go down, business, and all kinds of things. And he's a good old Southern boy, and he says to me, "When was the last time that you were homeless?" I said, "Well, I've never been homeless." He says, "When was the last time you were indigent?" I said, "Well, indigent." "And when was the last time you missed a meal?" And he said, "Well, I never have." And he said, "So in actuality, what you're really afraid of is that you may not be able to have what you want. And that you may be afraid of what other people might think of you if your lifestyle changes." And he was right. And he was right. And when Harlan and I share, and he, in my opinion, has a wonderfully strong program, and he has shared with me, and I don't believe I'm breaking his anonymity at all, about having those same kind of struggles, those same kind of fears. But what he does, and what I'm learning to do, is to take actions, which means if I get up at 4:30 in the morning and have anxieties, I go into my office and I sit down, I do some spiritual reading and some meditation and some writing. I make an outreach call. Usually I talk to his voicemail, who I've developed a very intimate relationship with. But it's okay. I can talk. I can say how I feel. What Bob said about the letter never dawned on me. God bless you. To write a letter to somebody other than God or myself, like my wife, like my family. And my family, for years and years, I've been going to therapy, many, many years, trying to figure out why I compulsively overeat. What is the black hole within me that I haven't been able to fill? And I've come to realize what it basically was, irrespective of the fact that, you know, I've been in program a long time, and I've had a period of abstinences, that I just didn't want to stop eating. I was just in plain denial. The plain truth was I didn't want to stop eating. My family knew that. My sons knew that. You know, we'd go out to sports bars and whatnot, and, you know, my eyes immediately look at the left upper side of the menu, which typically is appetizers and whatnot. We don't have appetizers at home. So as I started, you know, thinking about it and listening to what Bob said, my family only wants one thing. They want me to live. They want me to be healthy, to eat healthy, exercise. And my greatest wish is to be able to enjoy my children's children. With the help of this program, perhaps next year, I will be able to stand before you with a greater amount of abstinence. There might be a bonus in there of weight loss. But the key thing for me is not to be in denial, to know that there is only one way, that I don't have any more ideas. I don't have any more ideas. I started my first diet at 18 with the amphetamines and the diuretics and every other conceivable diet that came on the market. And I am out of ideas. Just like Bob said, I have no more ideas about other often. I work very hard on trying to just keep everything inside. And Harlan, what you said last night in answer to my question about strange, being a strange and sensitive. I'm going to be heading out shortly, as soon as the time for writing the letters. I've already written my letter. I wanted to ask those of you guys who would like to, I wanted to take one picture. Last time I was here, I took a picture of Gil out in the Peace Garden. And if those of you would like to come out, basically send a picture to Gil, I'll be out there right after the first minutes of writing the letter. I did something that I had never done. My letter. Yeah, I wrote it to my wife and my family. And, it struck me when Carl passed away. And we never know. We never know. And, the one thing I know, and I've heard it before, and I've heard it in program, and that is like, on my deathbed, I'm not going to say, I should have worked more. I should have told people how much I love them, how much I care for them. What I'm saying right now, guys, you guys need the last minute. And thanks.
I'm Steve, I'm a postal reader. I just wanted to share my experience with the letter. I've been coming to this retreat for a number of years, and my letters have definitely changed in that I think I originally was writing myself. I think at some point I wrote to God a couple times, just making sure I got back to this retreat year after year. And some people would share about the letter saying, oh, you can ask for whatever you want. It's like, a Christmas list. You just ask and God gives it to you. And I never did that. I was like, doesn't the 11th step say, pray for guidance and call it out and for what God's will to me is. So last year I kind of broke tradition and I did write for a bunch of things that I wanted through the course of the year. And so I got the letter a month ago, whatever it was. And there was, the laundry list, and I started looking and it was no, not even close, nope. And then there was a yes. And it must have taken a whole weekend for me to have even written that, to be centered enough to have written that yes that I asked for. And oddly enough, it was the only thing that I hadn't asked for myself. What I had asked for was that my brother-in-law remain sober for the year and to learn how to become a father and a husband. And 5 months prior to me writing that letter, so it's been a year and a half ago at this point, he had gotten drunk or high or both, which is nothing new, and had, because my nephew was 9, was mistreating, was arguing with my niece, had picked him up by the neck and had shaken him. Fortunately, didn't do any huge physical damage to him, but when my sister got wind of that, came home and got wind of that, he punched her in the face, and can imagine what was going on there. So when I saw that, a year and a half later, I was just shocked that not only has he remained sober during the course of the last year and a half, but during a particular dark time of mine, 6 months ago, something like that, 8 months ago, I was sitting at work in the ICQ up there, and my sister came on, and I just railed, and I just let go of all the garbage and shit, that was going on with me, and how much I hated God and everything else. And my sister, who has been going to Al-Anon and practicing it for the last year or so, was able to give me some program. So someone who has 6 or 8 months of program and recovery, after all my years, I was able to get exactly what I needed from that letter, only having one of the things that I didn't even ask for myself come true. So that's just my experience with it. So I just wanted to share that with you guys and ask for a whole bunch of other people to get things this year, and hopefully those will come true. So thanks.
That's all right.
Hi, I'm Adam, compulsive overeader.
Hi, Adam.
Well, I haven't written a letter before. It's my first retreat, so I came up here really because I knew I needed to take contrary action, and my default is to be really lazy, to get away with everything I can, to not be honest, and procrastinate. And I needed to really clean house. I have a lot of talk about having your house be in order. I have a lot of things I need to get in order. I've just picked up another sponsor here, which is something I was praying to God about. I have a lot of stuff going on in my life. I'm sort of functioning as a single dad, you know, sole custody, and now sharing it with my ex. And there's still a lot of things happening where I really need to, my life can't be that much around me anymore. And what I want truly isn't reliable. I'm really trying to now get in touch with what it is that God's will is for me. And coming here, I tried to kind of clear my mind and not have expectations, just be open and try to let God in. So there's a lot going on with that. I'm starting my steps. I want to redefine my food. I've had a lot of, when I say redefine my food, I mean not redefine my honesty. And I do have physical recovery from this program, which I'm very grateful for. But I need to maintain it, and I need to go to the next step, which is, for me, the steps. And really start working the program and not making this diet with a social club attached to it. So I'm just telling the truth about that. It's something where I need to be going. So my goal is to be here next year and to have worked the steps and to have grown spiritually quite a bit. And to start letting God do works through me, and which is what I want to say. I really appreciate your time and commitment, and God is really doing, truly doing great work through you. I'm very inspired, so thanks very much for that.
Thanks, someone.
Thanks,
Amanda. Oh. How would you do that?
All right,
I'll tell you later.
What's that?
Good morning, my name is Gordon, and I'm a compulsive overeater. My biggest character defect is my ego. It's also my salvation. I want to thank Harlan, particularly the most important part of what you had to say this weekend was your conversation about Chapter 1, Bill Wilson's story. And, I don't know if you heard this, but I've been on abstinence program since July 15th, about 4 years ago. And the reason I wanted to talk was because I came to OA simply because I was gaining weight, slowly but insidiously. And I have been on the program for over 35 years. And that other program, for a long time, I have a program my dad says, I'm going to live to be 100 years old. I don't care how that happened. And I began to realize if I didn't address my eating habits, I would never make the grade. And the hardest thing for me in this OA program is not coming to the meetings, not looking at my part in my eating compulsion, but accepting the fact that you don't have to be grossly overweight to need the program that I've learned to live here. You know, and it's ego-based, but it's also possibly spiritual-based for me. And so I only wanted to tell you, I don't know whether it's more difficult for me than to lose, or, you know, from 50 down to 180 again, which I don't think I'll ever make, but what I have stopped doing is gaining $5 a year in the last 4 years. And I have reversed the process to where I'm maintaining 200 or slightly under.
The numbers are unimportant, it's the long-term effect. The long-term effect. And I sometimes think it's hard for me to, you know, one of the things in doing inventories in the way was, I was an overeater ever since I was a little kid. But it didn't manifest itself in any way until I lost my vision. And a lot of my life, accepting the loss of vision, has also been accepting other things that go along with living. And I don't know exactly where I'm going with this, but, you know, for me, it's real hard to keep in mind that it isn't the amount of weight I need to live as in the to live successfully in a way, any more than the other program, and how much I grind and meditate. And so I just needed to share with you and the rest of you. Maybe there's only a couple others out there that only have a few pounds to work on. And for me, it's almost, it seems like it's as difficult for me because I'm the only one that has to do it. Nobody else. You know, ego comes in there. And I remember when I first came to the program, you know, I have a bit of an ego. I've had people say to me in the other program, you don't need to go there, you're not that bad. And it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with how I was starting to always use food as a social lubricant. I've used alcohol for years as a social lubricant. Stopped using alcohol, and food became my social lubricant. I can go, and unfortunately, other programs I use it a lot, which makes it difficult. And I don't have a wife or child or anything else, so I'm not, there's nobody else to do it for. But I remember when I first came around, I appreciate this. I remember when Calvin Klein had his picture on the building there in downtown Manhattan. And I thought, well, if I come to Hawaii, I'll look like Calvin Klein. What I found was, I never did look like Calvin Klein, so, so all I have to do is you know, it's a long-term maintenance program. I won't have the devastation of thinking that I had when I came to this program. I came here fully knowing what was necessary. When I came to the other program, it took me 5 years before I could understand the other story. You know. Anyway, is there someone else who'd like to share?
I'm Mark, I'm a compulsive overeater.
I'm Mark.
And Bill and Harlan, thank you so much for your honesty and for sharing that. I know you, even though I've never met you guys, and I'll never forget this retreat. This is my fifth retreat here, and each one has had its own special characteristics, and this weekend I needed to listen, and I really got a lot out of that. The first couple of years, I've been in the program for about 6+ years. And the first 2 years was like a honeymoon period for me. And then I did really well physically and growing and working the steps. And then for the next three and a half years, when I really started living life, it was kind of like a coasting period for me. And 8 months ago, I changed sponsors, and I've been back working the program the way I need to be working it. And, you know, things in my life are just happening now that that I haven't expected. And every time, you know, I think of God, I'm excited to see what God has in store for me now. And I really feel good about that. I finally, year after year, I keep on saying I can't wait to sell my condo and buy a house. And finally, my condo is up for sale. And I have, and while I'm doing that, I'm living back at my family's house. And when I found out about Overeaters Anonymous, my brother told me about it. He had gone to a couple meetings. And I ended up staying here, and I'm living back at the house, and my brother is over 400 pounds, And I am so glad that I started working the program stronger before I moved back in to the house. And I can just, you know, lead by example. And so I'm just, again, I'm grateful to be here, and thank you all.
Hi, I'm Mike, compulsive overeater.
Hi.
And one of the reasons for doing this is I tend to want to be an observer. So I can't be an observer when I get up here and do this. Thank you very much. And what was Daniel or whoever else said that when I raised my hand about leading the meditation would allow me to do it, and so thank you for letting me be of service. That really got me engaged in the retreat. It really helped. And if I do it, you know, if I come up next year and do it next year, that would be great. And I think next year we'll work on levitation. It's all progress, right? Over the course of time, I really found coming up here to be extraordinarily useful to hear these stories and to identify with them. And also, what I found myself doing, even though I had no intention of doing it, was writing a new abstinence. And it just came to me, like, this is what I need to do. Stop screwing around. Because I sure want to play all kinds of games. It's just part of the mystery of me that I will put myself in a situation that I need to do, and yet I still want to, you know, look for the escape clause or back out of it, you know. And when I hear that phrase, soft, easier way, boy, that sure appeals to me. I'm always looking for that option. So being here is a way of committing to myself that I'm worth my own recovery. Thank you for letting me share.
All right.
Thanks, Leon, the compulsive overeater. I do want to thank you guys for sharing. One of the things, and Harlan especially, because since I've been an Alcoholics Anonymous for so long, and relapsing in AA, you know, for me would be so deadly, you know, that it's been hard to develop that same fear with my eating. Because, you know, we laugh about it, you know, you don't go to jail for, you know, eating a Big Mac driving down the road, you know. They don't glucose tolerance test you if you have an accident, you know. It's been hard to develop that fear, and you really helped me with that. And I appreciate that, the sharing your story, because you know, my fear has always been that I would gain enough weight to where my self-esteem would get so bad that I would choose to go back to my other obsession, because that always was my primary obsession. But as was saying that you know, over the years in sobriety, you keep gaining weight, and that's what happened to me. Every year I gain a little bit more. But it was really hard psychologically for me to identify, because it's like, okay, come on, students would say no. It can't be the same compulsion as, you know, when I, you know, got a drink. But I'm finding it is. You know, I'm finding that I eat the two meals, I do that. I didn't gain any weight since, you know, the retreat last year. In fact, I haven't gained any more weight since it was my third retreat. I haven't gained any more weight since my first one. But I haven't lost any either, you know, because I haven't really worked the program. I really haven't, you know, called in my food. I haven't done anything that's suggested. But, you know, this time I think I am. No, this time I am. I've made a commitment to Mike to call him every day. And that's, you know, that's a big step. And one of the reasons, not only was fear, but I also started looking at genotypes. And I remember what my old friend I had in OA said, that OA people don't have mirrors that go any further than here. You know? And, you know, because, you know, there's this denial, well, not one of them, not one of them, not one of them. But then I started looking around, and I realized, I go from here to here, you know, if I look around, all of us are looking pretty good. You know? From here to here, most of us are looking pretty good. You know, but then I started noticing from here to here, I wasn't doing so well. So, this retreat has really helped me. And unlike the other retreats, I really was emotionally enough, and this time I was more physically tired than anything. But I really appreciate this and hanging out with you guys. And for the cigar smokers this year, thank you, thank you, thank you, because you just kept it over in the polluted section down there. And after, with people that were smoking outside the doors, and I had to leave, and I was getting sick, my stomach, so I really appreciate you guys keeping it over there. Also, reformed smokers have a little hard time with that.
What are you saying?
just remember to cut your lips and your tongue off from smoking a cigar. But you know, God bless you all for, you know, being here and supporting me.
Section and they can figure out what that meant. I tend to have the opposite thing that I've heard said, where people say, "Well, I just sit here, so I'm going to get up." So I really appreciate the interview because I could listen to myself talk forever. And so, but I just did want to get up and thank both Harlan and Bill. They were really, really, really a booster shot for me. I know. Some of you know this, and I'm probably just saying something that's pretty obvious, is that OA is a big one-room schoolhouse. And you go to meetings, and there's people like Harlan and Bill there, and there's other people that it's something between Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig that they're trying, or it's group therapy. And I really appreciate coming to a place like this to hear the things that I've heard in AA when I first came in, and that I hear from people, isolated people, that I need to remember, because there's times that you can start going, well, maybe it isn't more about the steps, maybe it's just about talking about yourself and your inner child or whatever, and I come here to go, no, okay, this is what it's about, the book is what it's about, and the steps are what it's about, and I really appreciate that, because there's times I sort of almost have to keep blinders on in the rooms, and I mean, and I really, we have two great meetings down in LA that I go to on a regular basis, Kitchen Sink and the Light Panel meeting, which I'll put a plug in for because it's my home meeting, is the one that we record, where we usually get people with 15, 20 years or more. I need to hear that kind of recovery. I need to hear that over and over to remember, and it just really helps to come here and get this kind of picture shot, to hear people taking the program as seriously as I take it, because I know, I mean, as you can sit here about the those of us that are, you know, in both programs, it's like, there was a guy, I tell people in AA, I don't know if anybody has this, but I get joked down a little in AA sometimes about OA, you know? And it's amazing that there's people in AA who don't get it, who go, you go to OA, well, you're not bad. I go, well, you're in AA and you're not drunk, you know? you know? They don't, I mean, and then they go, oh, yeah. About OA, I go, let me tell you, I buried two sponsees in OA. I hadn't buried any sponsees in AA. And the one guy I buried, Jim, was me. He was my clone, brain-wise. He thought like me. He had my same sarcastic sense of humor, cynical attitude. And I told him before he died, I said, the only difference between you and me is I had the gift of alcoholism. And I mean that because alcoholism slams you down into the pavement, you know, and then pulls you up and says, okay, get it? You're powerless. And that the reason I say the gift is that I was able to, through the God-given brain I was given, be able to say, okay, I'm not there with the food. I'm not at 600, 700, 800 pounds. But I have that capacity. And if I can just make the mental leap to be willing to do what a guy who is 500 or 600 or 700 pounds will do, I don't have to do that. And I got that, and he didn't, and he's dead, and he's been dead for over 10 years now. But I try to remember that that's the program I'm in. I'm in the one with the body count, you know? And God bless anybody else, but there's times I need to come here to ground up and go, oh yeah, this is what it's about. And again, I thank you guys both for coming up, and they were wonderful shares, and they were perfectly complimentary, and it was great. And I want to thank the committee for all their work too. So thanks. Who wants to talk next?
Hi guys, I'm Tom, the postal reader.
I want to thank the speakers for leading this weekend. I share a lot of things with Harlan because I was heavy when I came in, but the main thing with me is when I'm overeating, I'm in my apartment watching TV and comfortably alone, cut off from everyone. I won't answer the phone. I won't get to work. I used to be able to get to work and binge on the weekends, but now I eat 7 days a week, and I'm very poor when I do that. And I depend upon either the government for assistance or my family. And I'm hopeless and terrified, and yet every time I eat food, I feel so great. I mean, it's just, I have a relationship with food that takes away all the pain and makes it worse and worse and worse. I came into Overeaters Anonymous in 2002, and I wasn't at my top weight, but I was in my mid-300s. My top weight's somewhere over 400 pounds. And I've been a fat kid like Harlan since I was, 7 years old, I was thin, and then after that, I was just the first kid to go over 100 pounds in his class. And as I grew up, I'm 40 now, as I grew up, I lost more and more. I lost the ability to go to school, I dropped out of high school, I got a job, I was able to keep it together for a few years, I couldn't hold a job, and I had no idea what was kicking my ass. Not a clue. When I came into Overeaters Anonymous, it was full of women, but there were some men there who began sharing my story, and I never identified with fat people, although I was. And they began talking about how they were eating, and they started sponsoring. I have had male sponsors throughout from 2002 to 2005, where I lost my weight. I got down to 155. I mean, the food suddenly had lost its power over me. I could eat as little as I wanted without being bothered. And then I stopped taking those actions. And the disease came back, and I went into a one-year relapse where I gained 200 pounds in 12 months. And the most difficult thing that I've ever had to do in my life was get back to my first meeting. People had been calling me for a year because I've been very active in LA, and I didn't answer the phone. I had just been on my back eating everything I could to feel better, and it made me feel better. That's the magic of my disease, is I can be in a horrible place, eat for an afternoon, and not give a shit. So the first time I came back was in April of 06. I was welcomed so generously, I felt like I should be kicked like a dog, because how could you have given that up and walked away? And in a few weeks, they said, hey, come down to San Diego, there's a big book study led by this guy named Harlan. And I had heard his CD from the birthday party a few years before, and I came down to saw him, and I was a big round guy, and he greeted me kindly. And he told his story, and I said, well, if he can recover, I can too, because it hasn't gotten that bad for me yet. But it's sure heading that way. And so I'm so glad for Steve for inviting me down for this, because he's coming back to hear it. And I've met some of you in L.A. I go to L.A. meetings occasionally, and San Diego meetings occasionally. And there are a bunch of guys who have overcome the thing that is killing me. I mean, I got this thing. It is beyond anything that I am could throw at it. I'm a doomed man without this program. And if this program works, I just recently got a job again with health insurance. I have a girlfriend for the first time in years. I have a better relationship with my family. The food, I can leave it. I can put it down. Which I think God is waiting for me to do all along, because it's the biggest thing I can sacrifice for him. It means so much to me, I can't express in words. And once I put it down, recovery whooshes in, and I'm able to live a life, to be alive. And even though it's very difficult for me to connect with people, I try, and I get the ability to do that. So thanks for the show.
Hi, Dave. Hi. Good morning. Good afternoon. My name is Don Rod. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Don.
Special thanks to Harlan and to Bill and the committee for this on. A special thanks to people that I've known in the program for so long. Very, very special people in my life. Dave, for Craig, and for Everett. So many people have helped me so much in this program. About 2.5 years ago, I was at my end. I weighed about 275, 280 or something, and I didn't know what to do. And the miracle happened, because it was a miracle, and I started losing weight. The weight was falling off me. I got down to about, got down to 184 pounds. My definition of abstinence was moving towards or maintaining my goal weight, and my goal weight was set by somebody, not me, you know, my doctor. And I was just almost at my goal weight. And it was great. Everybody comes up to you and says, "Oh God, are you okay? You're looking great," you know. And just, I managed busting my butt and stuff. Wonderful, you know. And then about 9-10 months ago, my ego finally started to kick back in again, and saying that you know all that weight I lost was all because of Don Brown. And so I started eating very gradually, no big binges, nothing special, but I still weigh myself once a week every Saturday morning. I couldn't understand, God, I just keep inching up a half pound, a pound, and then maybe go back down, kept going up and going up and going up. And I say this not because of anything, any great character qualities I have, but I have to say it because I need to hear my voice say it in front of my own peers and my equals, and it's really, really important. And I didn't know what to do. I said, "Well, just do what you did back then," and it didn't work because the problem was, I said, "Just do what you did back then. It's not what my higher power, what God did, or what the power of the fellowship did," is I was saying what I did, you know. And it didn't work because, you know, it wasn't what I who did it, you know. And the most important thing I realized it about 5 or 6 weeks ago when I started abstaining all over again by my definition, which is important because, you know, some guy who's got heart disease like I do, real important not to go ahead and get fat again. You know? And I started believing that I could get better. Because up to that point in time, I did it. The 9 months I was trying to do what I did before, to lose my weight, I could eat my oatmeal and this and that, and don't eat flour products, because, you know, flour and high fat, I'm an addict. I'm, you know, addicted to flour products, addicted to high fat foods, you know. That's it. Sugar I can take or leave, but that stuff I can't. I can't. I have no boundaries around it. I behave very, very poorly around it. So I just believed I couldn't do it. And I kept hearing all those, I hear a lot of times old timers at meetings saying, "Well, I always knew I had another relapse, but not another recovery." I'm going, "Shit, there goes, I don't have another recovery." And then somewhere along the line, I don't know how it happened, you know, about 5 weeks or so ago, I believe I can recover. I did it once, you know, it happened once, but I did it, it happened once. Maybe it'll happen 20 more times. I have no fucking idea, but it can happen. It can happen. Like the story of Peter Pan, you know. Peter Pan forgot that he could fly. He didn't believe that he could fly anymore. And he grew up, you know, and that was it. And he had to relearn again. And that's what coming to meetings, coming to retreats, hearing your story, whether you're in a 36-inch waist or a 56-inch waist, makes no fucking difference to me. I have to relearn again. I have to learn that I can get better. I mean, you know, we heard a lot of times say, you know, there is a God and I am not God. I have three things I have. You know, there is a God. You know, God can fix me 1,000,000,000%, and I'm not God. And there's a fourth thing I had to learn, and that is I have a disease. God, I still don't like it, but I can actually say it now, because for the 2 years I was at 184 pounds, I didn't think I had a disease. I didn't think I was an addict. I got a problem with food, you know. My life was getting better. I appreciated my job more. I appreciated my family more. All the things, all the miracles and the promises the Blink Book tells me will happen were happening to me, you know. But, you know, it just, something happened, you know. I stopped wanting to learn, and most of all, I stopped believing. I stopped believing. And today I'm believing, and it's wonderful. It's a great feeling, you know. And I wrote my letter and stuff, because it's this fellowship that makes it happen, you know. And I am indeed standing on giant's height. You know, I don't know, I don't have all the historical background that some of us do about AA. I'm not in AA. But I do know that without the fellowship, without people, I mean, I can go around, I got Craig, I got Leonard, I got Sal, I'm forgetting people's names, I got Don, I got Dave, I got Bob, I got Steve, I got Frank, I got Gordon, I got young Gabriel, I always call young Gabriel, you know, I got Harlan, I got Daniel, I got Daryl, I got, you know, I got Ken, I got zillions of people, you know, and that's the support I need. You know, because, and I also have to know that I can't do it on my own. That I have to believe that there is a power greater than myself. That power can restore me to sanity. You know, and when my mind, you know, when I have that belief, the belief that it happens leads to faith. The faith then leads me right into action, and that's when the stuff I do have to do. I got to put action behind it. You know, I was working with a guy who wanted to work with me, and you know, my experience was that no matter, and his experience is that, or if he thinks it's his experience, I hope it pays off, that if he prays and meditates like a son of a bitch, he'll lose weight. He won't be compulsively overeating. That's not mine. But I tried that a long time ago, you know. I used to be in synagogue and people would say, God, this man is just incredibly religious, you know. And I was fucked up, you know. I was eating like a son of a gun, you know. I was dodging letters from the IRS and the franchise tax board, you know. Had my house foreclosed once. Had two cars repossessed. I had it all. I all got them back, which is an absolute freaking miracle. But you know, that was because I got them back. You know, I am absolutely powerless to do battle with food. You know, few of us have ever won a single hand combat. You know, and I have to believe that. And as long as I believe that there's a God, a higher power, something out there that will put me in the right direction. You know, then I can start putting my life into action. And I don't need to have a PhD in nutrition. You know, it's no big deal. I don't need, you know, food plans are a dime a dozen. And every person who's been overweight in their life knows how to eat cleanly, you know. I just need to be able to have to do it. And you guys give me the power to do it. So for that, I'm truly, truly blessed. And once again, thanks to the committee and to everybody who comes here, because it would be a pretty shitty retreat if I was the only one here. So
my name is Chris. I'm a compulsive overeater. You know, I it's good for me to say that I'm 11 months in this program, and you know, one of the things that dawns on me is that, you know, death was a great motivator for me to get sober, and death was a great motivator for me to come into these doors of OA. And that said. You know, in this program, I'm really reassured to find that there are people like you guys who are willing to do this, and guys like these guys who are willing to come here, you know, sacrifice their time for us. And you know, I am in that other program at AA, and I can tell you, you know, in the 16 years that I've been here, there's maybe two guys left that I walked in through the door with, you know. And it's that way. The attrition rate's huge, you know, and people die and people find reasons to go out. And I know I'm completely delusional. In my head and in my thinking, I want a way out, you know. I don't want to be here, you know. But I also know the rewards of being here, being in this program, of working these steps are so great. You know, as Harlan and Bill both attest to and are examples of, and all of you guys being here, and me being here, trusting God that, like, there's a plan here that's going to empower me and let me live life more full and more present, you know. I think mostly my fear of financial insecurity and actually probably the promises coming true. true in the steps and me getting all of my wildest dreams coming true also put a burden on me and a stress on me, which led me back to eating. And, you know, working the steps around food is just, like, tremendous. It's awesome. And the selflessness that these guys bring of their time. I know Bill had other plans this weekend, and, you know, watching Harlan, knowing that he's got this totally different lifestyle as far as when he's up, when he's asleep, when he's, you know, it's like got a really different life. And it's like these guys giving of their time to us like this, and the message that they brought to us here about the steps is also so reassuring to me, because OA was a little bit of a mystery to me, and coming to meetings and, you know, working the steps out of the 12 and 12 instead of the big book, felt a little bit lost, you know, and I'm trying to sort this out and trust that God has a plan, and that's why, you know, I turned myself over to the will and care of a higher power when I walked into this program as I did the other one. And there's a great reassurance for me to find out that, like, the cornerstone and the foundation of this program is, you know, the big book in the 12 steps, and the message that you guys carry today about that being what we do here is so reassuring to me. And it's so empowering to know that we have an answer. You know, we have an answer. And I really just want to thank all you guys, you know, because this is what I know about 12-step. What we're doing right now is what I know about 12-step. And I know we can be recovered together if we do these steps and if we do this work. Again, I just want to thank these guys for putting, you know, taking all the time out and leading us. You know, that's a heavy thing to come up with. And with all of your experience, confirming the experience that we know, it's just we're walking out here with a super powerful shot thanks to you guys staying in the program and sharing that with us. You know, it's awesome. Thanks.
Hi everyone, I'm Daniel, the book reader. Thanks again, Peter. It's great. My goal was to come here and not to leave the same way I got here. So, and it was proven to me by the leaders, what they had to say. And I've also, there in the corner, we've inherited the little fly of abstinence. It just bounced back and forth. Pushing it away, but I guess we're the only one that have any abstinence over there in that corner. But one of the beauties of recovery is that we've been given a new set of priorities. I dropped a business card at a local eatery in town, and I received an email earlier this week that this week only I had free passes to eat from the 17th through the 19th at their buffet. One-time thing that we do to all the people that drop off. Well, thank you very much. I remember there was a time that there was no distance, no mileage, no time of the day. Nothing could stop me when I wanted to pursue that famous double bacon cheeseburger and fries with a Diet Coke. I never did say I'm too tired to binge tonight. You know, I don't like going to that Jack in the Box because those guys are all assholes in there. I never did say I'm never going to call that pizza person to deliver my pizza again because he's an asshole. I never did complain to Bob that that gallon of ice cream is just too goddamn expensive. I just did what my disease wanted me to do, you know. And it's through you guys. Recovery, that I have been given a different way of living. You know, my disease, my road to the disease has gotten narrower. and my life in recovery has gotten broader. And, you know, it's impossible to be in recovery and not have a change. I'm not the same person I was a year ago. I'm not the same person I was 2 years ago, 3 years ago. We changed. That's what we were on. That's the flyer. That's right there with me. All I'm just trying to get at is this. Look, I am one of you. I have a disease as well. And I had to make some changes in my life. And some of them are not pleasant. But my problem is that when I am asked by my higher power to change, the more excuses I come up with. I have a good reason why I shouldn't do it. And it just seems that I will change only when the male gets uncomfortable of me sitting on it. And I wish I had the volition to do it, say, you know, yes, you're right, let me do it now. But I'm very stubborn. But when I do change, I say, man, why did it take me so long to change? Well, because I'm very stubborn. And I'm afraid. The foundation of that is I'm really scared. I'm really scared of changes. I'm really scared to actually walk out naked and trust that God is going to clothe me with His presence. And what I know that in this fellowship, we're all God's skin. And I've been touched by every one of you guys. You know, I didn't know that before. You know, I was a very religious person. And I just thought I had the answers to God, and I don't. The wonderful part about it is that today I see some presence in front of me that's going ahead, opening this path, and I'm following it. I don't like it when we go sometimes, but you know what? That path is being cleared by this presence that I don't understand. But it has my best intentions. It has the best for me. So what do I put in recovery is what I'm going to get out of it. You know, that's the best thing. We're going to keep getting what we're getting because we're doing what we're doing. You know, so I am one of you. I am one of you. I have this disease, you know, and I'm never going to get rid of it. But you know what? It's been this disease that's been giving me a new life. I used to have a life that I lived in a room all of mirrors. It was all about me. Mirrors, mirrors, mirrors. And in recovery, I've been given a room with plenty of windows to look outside. And that's how I plan to live. Thank you.
My name is Frank. I'm a compulsive overeater. I want to thank Bill and Carl for leading our retreat. And I've got a little bit of history with both of them. Bill and I were both in the program in Washington, D.C. together, and then about the same time we moved to Los Angeles. Both of us moved back to Los Angeles because I had started the program here. And it was just, it has been and continues to this day to be a wonderful connection, and really nobody helps me more than he does on a regular basis in this program. And Harlan doesn't know this, but the first time I heard him was at a birthday party, and I bought the tape and I listened to the tape, and I was blown away when I heard your story, and I was blown away when I listened to the tape, and I sent it to a friend of mine in the movie business, and I said, do you think there's a movie in here? And he sent it back to me and said, this is a very moving story, but it's not a movie, it's an Oprah segment. And I'm sorry, I tried. And in terms of last year, I came to this retreat, and then I proceeded to have a tough year, and I'll spare you the details, but the end result was I gained about 12 pounds. I gained an average of about a pound a month this past year. And like I came here to like offload that weight, the emotional weight that's behind that, as well as to get back into a strong abstinence where, you know, I can hope. My hope is, with God's help, that I will be able to come back here next year, and that I will be able to say, you know, I lost the weight, and I don't react, I don't eat over my feelings the way I did last year. That's my hope. Thanks very much.
All right.
I'm Leonard. I'm grateful to come.
Hi, Leonard.
I want to thank Arlen and Bill. It was a wonderful combination of the subtle way and the slap us over the head way and the kind of good cop, bad cop. And I did bring up a book of 1,001 answers for anonymous complaints, but I didn't get any, so this is a pretty good group because nobody complained, so I appreciate that because I was scared to death. I came up in really a kind of numb. I mean, I had such stress and anxiety the last 2 or 3 weeks, I couldn't even feel my toes. I felt like I was floating with anxiety because my wonderful wife had asked me to do something that I'd been putting off for years and years and years, and that was redoing our kitchen. It had gotten to a point where she pulled a drawer out and it just crumbled in her hands, you know, and she put up with this for years, and it was a decaying monster, and so I decided to put my nice retirement life on hold and go back to being a full-time general, not that I'm a general contractor, I'm a retired school teacher, but I became one. And for 6 weeks, we literally gutted the kitchen down to drywall, rebuilt it. And the stress level at times was just unbelievable. And yet I got through it. And my wife said, go to this retreat, you deserve it, you've earned it, get out of here. You know, it's time to get some rewards for really working my butt off. And it's been that way. I felt just wonderful. I've slept well. The ground, just being with all of you guys, hearing some really powerful messages from the big book. And, you know, whenever I have trouble sleeping, I open up the big book, and it can be 1, 2, or 3 in the morning, and I start reading from it. And I feel like I have a whole world of support in that book, and a certain mystique about it that really allows me to go back to sleep and know I'm being supported. And it's a very powerful, powerful thing for me. It is my Bible. I know it is my religion. And I was a person who always thought God is punishing and scary. And OA has been rewarding and uplifting. And I really thank the program so much for that. It's been, and I've needed, I think, this really rededication because I'm going back and to a beautiful new kitchen and a lot of blessings in my life and with a lot of friendship here and renewing a lot of friendships, and I'm very, very grateful, and I'm grateful for the two friends that drove up, and I was so out of it, I just slept in the back seat and they drove, and they were great, and I feel alive and relaxed and blessed. I want to thank you guys and thank my fellow committee members, and it's a blessing to be here. Thank you.
I'm Don, compulsive overeater now.
My goal is to live a sober life. When I look in the dictionary, the first couple of definitions have to do with absence of intoxication, but then it gets down to one that says freedom from unreasonable excess. And that's how I want my life to be, and for the most part it is. Well, lately I have been feeling just a little squirrely and a little like my program is getting like an old car and I need the bolts tightened up just a little bit, all the way around. And then I picked up 2 sponsees that are really serious about working. I've had an awful lot of sponsees over the years, but mostly they've been the kind of fly low over the sponsor kind of sponsees. And I heard it at a meeting not long ago that God will do for you what you cannot do for yourself, but He will not do for you what you can do for yourself. And I want to thank Bill and Harlan for telling me what I can do for myself, because it seems very clear to me that I need to review my steps, redo my steps, that maybe I've kind of flown low over the steps much more than I was willing to acknowledge over the years, and that it's time for me to do a rededication and restart. And as a matter of fact, while some of the off time, I happen to be blessed with getting a room to myself this time. I don't know how that came about, But I've spent quite a lot of time doing a lot of writing on the steps so far since I've been here, and I hope to continue. I commit to you all to continue in that regard. Anyway, I want to thank you guys very much for a wonderful, wonderful, inspiring meeting. I want to thank you guys for putting it together. Anyway, thanks a lot.
I'll keep it short. My name is Larry, a compulsive overeater. I've been in the program 29 years.
I'm Larry.
I was a performer 25 pounds. I want to thank you guys for coming here and leading the meeting, and you guys rock. Anyway, I've enjoyed this retreat, and I've been to another retreat for this over at Boy Scout camp, but if it wasn't for the people doing service and putting this together, nobody runs OA, you know, nobody's in charge, but it works out when people do service, and service is its own reward. Last night I got to experience, and feel good, and I helped somebody out, but I also want you to remember somebody right now that's in the hospital, been in the program for a long time. In your prayers, your meditation time. Remember Jerry Fisher, he's going through some hard times, he doesn't have family, and he's got back surgery for the third time. Anyway, thank you.
Hi, I'm Bob, the multiple reader.
Hi, Bob.
Thank you, Bill and Harlan, for a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I was not going to come this year. Said so many things going on, and way back in February, some friends of ours planned a trip to Prescott, and I said to my wife, "Why are they planning that? You know, so far out in August." And so then I decided when I have an opportunity of going to group with Bruce and Harlan, and when Harlan speaks at a group, the problem I have with it when he pitches. I want to hear more. Everybody get to identify what I'm saying? Can you imagine him just pitching for 2 minutes? And so about a month ago, I said to my wife, and I hope you have a wonderful wife, but I don't think your wife could be any more wonderful than mine, but I hope she's equally as great. And I said to Myrna, I said, "I'd love to go up in the mountains in Prescott with everybody and be with all of you. I love you, and I know you'd have a great time. But I don't need to go as much as I need to go to the retreat. Because if I go to the retreat, I love to go to the retreat and be with these people I met last year, but I need it. And what I'm going to get at the retreat will help me in my recovery the rest of the year, but going up in the mountains will just be a flash for a fun time, and I'll kind of forget it." And she said, "Well, you do what you need to do, Bob, and thank you, Steve, you found a room, and I'm so, so grateful to be here." It's been a year and a half since I had a piece of candy in my mouth, or any sugar, or any flour, products. And when I first joined OA, and they talked about the obsession being removed, and I listened to them, and I thought, "Oh shit, there's a bunch of liars here. Nobody could actually have that obsession removed. What a bunch of liars they were." And after a few weeks when I was off it, the obsession was removed by God, and I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. And there are a lot of Bobs that come into my therapy office, and they go to our little bowl of Snickers and Milky Way and all that, and I sit by a bowl of suckers in my office, and they don't have my name. And they don't call me anymore. I can't believe it. But God has done that. And one of my recovery things of being a recovering clergyman also is like, God is the big God. And we say God for cancer and death and all those things, but not for taking another compulsive bite. So I'm transforming and spreading God out to a bigger part of my life. And Friday night, I think it was harder when you talked about how someone in the cardiac unit and someone in the
chemotherapy area would love to have just compulsive overeating as a problem that God could help them in the 12 steps. And I almost died of a heart attack 4 years ago this fall. And not only thank God for his healing, but thank God for electrical engineers who have a pacemaker and defibrillator. And if you guys have a heart attack, you've got to call 911. But I got a little gentleman here that helps me right away. Thank God for technology. And when I was in the hospital, one of my friends is a surgeon, and he came to see me. And he, too, has a weight problem. And I love him very much. And a couple weeks ago, he came to see me in the office, and I came out of seeing a client, and there he was laying on the floor by my wife's desk, who's my secretary. And I had seen him about 5-6 weeks ago, and I didn't hardly know him. And I thought, I don't know if I even said hi to him on the street. And he lost 45 or 50 pounds in 5 weeks. And Tuesday, we found out that he has aggressive brain cancer. And now I look at God helping him with the brain cancer and hoping he can survive, and I look at that little compulsive bite. And I really feel heavy on this emotional part, but I can't ask God to help me through the little things. And we have a God that's 180 degrees and cares about Jim with brain cancer, and your friends are hurting, and wants to help each of us with every little bite so we can live long. And coming back this year is this, I think we should call it a family reunion, because it feels like a reunion, and I hope I can come back in many years in the future and be a part of love and shared recovery with you folks. Thank you.
I'm a grateful recovering overeater. My name is Craig. And I'm maladjusted to life, according to the big book. And I'm grateful that I'm here because now God is in my life. When I was in the morning mass this morning, Frank had mentioned that being grateful is having God in there. And I do have God in my life now. Bill, thank you very much for leading. Harley, thank you very much for leading. It's been a wonderful experience for me. I was one of these guys that would get off work after having a full day of food, you know, breakfast, I hit the garbage truck, and then the lunch wagon, and then the garbage truck again in the afternoon. Get off work and hit Carl's Jr. I mean, it's only 5 o'clock, 5:15, but I hit Carl's Jr. and load up with food. Sometimes that would make it so that I could get home. Other times it wouldn't. I'd have to stop again. I knew where every Carl's Jr. restaurant was, from the city of Industry to Laguna Niguel, California. Every single one of them. And I visited all of them, sometimes, many times a day. But it was nothing for me. I'm going to talk about food here. It was nothing for me to have the Superstar, a large fry, and a chocolate and a vanilla shake. And then go home and have a complete dinner with my wife and family because I didn't want them to know that I had stopped and had a full dinner already. I wasn't full, but I had a complete dinner again when I got home. Full didn't make me stop eating. I didn't know what full was. And you know, I was wondering at one time, why am I different? You know, you see people that we call normies, and then there's the 700 pounders. Where am I in this? What's keeping me from being the 700 pounder or the normie? And I'm on this fence going like this. And if I fall this way, am I going to be the 700 pounder? If I fall this way, am I going to be the normie? You know, I never fell either way. I just stayed on that fence. And then when I came into Overeaters Anonymous in 1997, I started seeing some of the differences. And I didn't really get it until about the last 2 years, 3 years, you know, what I had to do to not fall to that 700-pound side, but I'm scared shitless that I'm going to still fall that way. You know, if I don't have my higher power in my life, I will fall to that 700-pound side. I'm by no means a normie. I'm a newbie in the program again. I'm so new with this. My higher power precedes me. I have to ask him to precede me to work every day, that I will get through the day. I take him when I have a challenge. I ask him to relieve me of some of my pain during the day. You know, I was blessed with a strong body for a lot of years, but as I'm getting older, I have a lot of pain in my legs. You know, 400 pounds is not 700. But you know, I can get up in the morning and take a walk now. But I do have pain. I can't take the normal pain prescription that everybody else does, so I talk to my higher power, my God, and I allow him to take some of this stuff from me. And lo and behold, he does. You know, I missed last year's retreat. I had a divorce, and I was just scared shitless of financial insecurity. I couldn't afford the $200 that it took to come up. I could have taken a scholarship, but I was had too much pride. This year, as soon as I heard who was going to be leading the retreat, I sent my money in, put a reservation in. I think I was probably one of the first two or three, because I couldn't miss this year. It's sunny. My last two retreats were not sunny. I don't know if that was my attitude or if it was actually overcast. You know, I can't remember. But I believe it was partially my attitude. You know, I had a very overcast, dull, dim attitude. You know, I didn't know if I was stupid or a slow learner or what, but you know, I guess I'm a slow learner, because it took up until last year to really truly realize that I'm a compulsive overeater, and that I need to be in meetings. I need to study the big book. I need to get up here and share. And I need to come to these retreats and be with... My first retreat, I knew only one person here. That was Steve. And now I come here and I have a group of friends. And it's just phenomenal for me to be up here, to be able to be up here and not be scared shitless, because I don't know anybody. But I'm grateful to be here. I'm hoping that I'll be here next year. God willing, I will. I want to live a nice, happy, active, long life. And when I come up to the pearly gates, man, I want to be all battered, bruised, cut, teeth missing. I want to have split into home. And here I am safe. And I want to see all of you up here with me. Thanks for letting me be here. And thank you.
I'm John McCullough. I'm a cultural reader. Thank you, Don Harlan. Everybody, thank you for your sharing and being here. I walked into OA in September of 1988. So I'm 70 pounds down from the weight I walked in here. 30 pounds down from my relapse weight. And to be honest, I struggle. I struggle with this program. For all these years, I struggle. And I struggled to the point where a few weeks ago my sponsor fired me. He basically told me to read a page in the big book, and I'm sure you guys know that. The page in the big book says, if you're working with someone who won't work with you, yeah, you got to let them go because you're depriving other people. I read that, and it's like, good hit on. But, I still have the same feeling I got 5 minutes in the door. And that first newcomer's meeting, that feeling that this is where I belong, this is where I need to be. So, struggle or not struggle, a lot of things in my life are going great, but I'm here, and I'm going to stay here. And, it's funny, when they announced next year's retreat, it's like, okay, can I make it, can I not make it? It's like, that's how my mind works. I'm here today. And all that God is today. And And I think for now, I'm just going to say I just keep coming back. And I'll find a new sponsor. I know I will. And I need to redouble my efforts. I need to work this program. And that's what I'm going to do. Thanks.
I was going to catch a plane, but he went to the bathroom to catch him there. But who else wants to share? Anybody else? Okay, so we'll go through. We can close it up.
Yay.
Let's wait till he comes out. We'll make a big circle and Leonard, are you going to take the letters this year?
Okay, I'll take the letters. I got it.
Mike,
serenity. God.